We're on Amaziah. You can turn to 2 Chronicles 26. We'll eventually get there in our study this morning, but I do want to finish up a few things with you on Amaziah, some spiritual lessons from our study of him, and then we'll go on to the 10th king. As I'm doing that, I want to give you two prayer requests that are outside of our church. One is Julie Villarreal made it known to a couple of folks last evening that they have a very special unspoken request, and we need to pray for the Villarreals with that. And then this lady, her name is Courtney. She is the 20-year-old daughter of a lady by the name of Alyssa, but Courtney is disabled and currently in the hospital with COVID there in the Scranton, PA area. I think Eric Haywood got this contact, and it's a very rough situation for this 20-year-old young lady, Courtney, and he said that he would have our church pray for that. And so we want to pray for that. We continue to remember Dean Hefner in the hospital. Sandy's probably live streaming this morning, but Dean has been dealing with pneumonia, and in addition to that, has a blood clot. And we really need to uphold Dean in prayer today. And then, of course, Carol Sponoggle has her procedure on her back tomorrow morning down in Baltimore. And Larry has his kidney procedure, it'll be this coming Friday, the 18th. And so those are some highlighted things. I know Matt Parks is under the weather. There's a few others that are under the weather, but these ones we want to pray for. And I think Sandy is also, I don't know if she's got a lot of different symptoms or not, but we certainly want to remember these folks as we open the service in prayer this morning. So let's do that, and then we'll get into the Sunday school hour. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you have made. Lord, thank you for the seasons, Lord, that you create, Lord, all with different aspects of beauty. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege to gather together today. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the establishment of the local church and that he gave himself for it. Lord, we're thankful that, Lord, we get to be a part of that this day. We pray, Lord, for the special needs that are before us. We think of Julie Villarreal and, Lord, her unspoken request, that very special request for that family. And, Lord, we lift that up to you today. We hold them up before you. We ask, Lord, for your intervention and your demonstration of your power. And, Lord, that they would sense your Holy Spirit's words of comfort, Lord, through the Word of God, that whatever that need is, Lord, that you would help. We pray for this young lady by the name of Courtney. And Lord, we pray, God, that, Lord, you might preserve her life. Lord, we know that whatever the situation is with the COVID, it's very difficult for her being disabled and whatever else is going on in her body. Lord, we pray that you would touch her mother, Alyssa, today, and, Lord, help that family. Lord, we're not there, but, Lord, we sure do appreciate prayers when we're going through things. And we lift her up before you today. We lift up Brother Dean today up before you. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would touch his body. Lord, that you would cause the blood clot to dissolve. And Lord, we pray that the pneumonia in his lungs would clear up. Specifically, Lord, we pray these things for him. We pray for Sandy today, Lord. Don't know if she's feeling ill or not, but we pray for her. We pray for Matt Parks. Pray for my mother, Lord, some that are just dealing with congestion or sinus or, Lord, sickness. I know the Hilligas children have been sick this week. Lord, we remember them as well. And Lord, teach us, Lord, help us to be awake this morning, not just physically, but spiritually, Lord. May our hearts be yielded and in tune with your Spirit throughout this day as we worship you, Lord, as we give to you, as we hear from you, Lord, and as we respond to you. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. We are on the life of Amaziah, Amaziah being the 9th king. And the lessons that we learned from Amaziah, we found out that full reliance, number 2 in your notes, if you're filling in your blanks there, full reliance on God finds a reward in the demonstration of his power. Remember, so going back to Amaziah and kind of bringing you back into his world this morning, he had 300,000 people in Judah to fight, and then he recruited 100,000 from Israel, but the man of God came to him and said, hey, the 100,000 from Israel, they don't know me. they're not with me, and they're not going to help you win the battle. Send them home. And he did. And the Bible says the Lord is able. The man of God was giving him hope. Hey, God can take care of this thing with the 300,000 men that you have. And certainly he did. And Amaziah learned to have full reliance on God. And when we fully rely upon God, we see God's power. Certainly he saw that. Then we learned something else, lesson number three in your notes. To run with the wrong crowd will result in God withholding his power and his blessing upon us. To run with the wrong crowd will result in God withholding his power and his blessing upon us. Remember, he was running. He listened the first time to the prophet, but then the prophet came the second time, and his success led to inflation and idolatry. You remember that. And then God's power and God's blessing departed from him. He took into consideration the princes and hearkened unto them and the idols and brought all those back, and they became his idols, the Bible says. And he all started running with the wrong crowd. And when you run with the wrong crowd, God can't bless that. God's power is not on your life. God's blessing is not on your life. We learn that from Amaziah. Number four, beware of the traps that come with the path of success. Deal with that even more in King Uzziah's life as we look at King Uzziah today. But there are traps that are set even on the path of success, and we need to be aware of them. Remember, number five, there's always the temptation to set up an idol and bow down to it in your life. And Amaziah, right after victory, right after a high, he hit a low. But he hit a low out of choice. It was not by a fall. It was out of choice. Whenever we bow in our lives to an idol, it is a choice. It is a choice. And we deal with idols in our lives. Number six, an honest evaluation and correction of your spirit is critical to staying in a place where you can be used by God. Do our spirits get off? They do. All of us. I think the Bible characterizes Daniel in Daniel 6, verse number 3, with an excellent spirit. But that doesn't mean that Daniel lived his life 100% with a great spirit. I think all of us get off with in our spirit. Amaziah did the second time the man of God came to him. Who are you to talk to me? And he could have corrected that. We don't have word that he did, because the man of God said, well, you're going to be destroyed for your choice, but also because you refuse to hearken. Or in other words, your spirit turned into that of rebellion and your way. And because of that, I have to destroy. He lost his place of usefulness. And when our spirit gets off, which it can in the snap of a finger, we step out of a place of usefulness. And it is important that we guard our spirit. It's interesting in Malachi chapter 2, when he's dealing with husbands treating their wives treacherously, that he says this. He says, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously with the wife of thy youth. And in the context of marriage, you can get off in your spirit in your marriage. And it's nobody else's job to fix your spirit. It's your job to fix your spirit. It's my job to fix my spirit. And that requires work. That requires humility before God. That requires, you know, get myself in a right place again. And that can happen, but your choice. Amaziah didn't make a good choice here. The last thing about Amaziah is good advice discarded results in personal disasters. Good advice that you discard in your life can result in a personal disaster. Certainly did in Amaziah's life. Amaziah, like many other kings, started out right, but then he had a falling away. Are those words biblical words? Falling away? Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A falling away is a defection from the truth. Another word for that is apostasy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're in the context of really a book that is dealing with some end time issues with the church at Thessalonica that they were confused about. They were confused about the second coming. They were confused about maybe the order of events in the end. And really what Paul was trying to clarify with them was that Jesus has not come yet. In fact, he's not going to come. The rapture is not going to take place until the man of sin is revealed. The man of sin being the Antichrist. And the man of sin, I'm sorry, I got that reversed. The rapture is going to take place before the man of sin is revealed, okay? But before the man of sin is revealed and before the rapture takes place, the rapture is going to take place, then the Antichrist is revealed. There is going to become or take place a falling away. We see that in verse number 3. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. First, falling away. What's he talking about? He's talking about an apostasy. He's talking about people that defect from the truth. They leave the truth. Amaziah left the truth. He won the battle. He went in. He collected everything. But he took their idols and those idols became his idols. And he began to worship different gods. That's apostasy. That's falling away. Is it possible for you to fall away? It is. So there are two falling aways. There's a falling away by somebody who never possessed Christ. Okay? In other words, they had the shell. They had the outward, maybe for a period of time, but they never truly possessed Christ. And they fell away, and it showed up. You know what? They never had Christ in the first place. And then there's a falling away that the Bible terms backsliding. Okay? That is a believer that defects from the truth in their actions and their behavior and their conduct, and they backslide, they turn away from God, and they can be restored. For the apostate that has never possessed Christ, they need to be saved. That's what they need. You know, there are professors that are not possessors, okay? And they need to be saved. For the backslider, they need to be forgiven. They need to repent, be forgiven, and restored. If you're backslidden this morning, thankfully, the last chapter of your life has not yet been written. So why don't you write a new chapter and let God write a new chapter and come back to God today and be right and get thoroughly right with God? Amaziah, we never have any commentary saying that once he turned away from God, once he fell away, that he returned to God wholeheartedly. And so a little bit about Amaziah and some things to learn about the king who fell away. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we're dealing with Uzziah, who is also known as Azariah. Just the snapshot there on the front of your handout, briefly, two main passages that deal with him, 2 Kings 15, 2 Chronicles 26. He reigned 52 years in Judah. He was the longest reigning continuous king in Judah's history. Remember, even if you go back to Saul, David, and Solomon, before the kingdoms were split, they reigned 40 years each. So this guy reigned 52. Now, Manasseh would have reigned longer, but Manasseh did not reign continuously. There was a break in Manasseh's reign, all right? Here, Uzziah reigns 52 years in Judah, and he began his reign at 16 years old. In Israel, there are five transitions that happen in the northern kingdom during the reign of one king in the southern kingdom. Five different kings roll over in the northern kingdom during Uzziah's reign. The contemporary prophets during Uzziah's reign are men like Jonah and Isaiah and Amos and Hosea, all biblical prophets that we have books that are written by them. And so Uzziah, the Bible says, when Isaiah had that vision in Isaiah 6, that great vision of holy, holy, holy is God, that it was in the last year of Uzziah's reign. Or it talks about that in Isaiah chapter 6. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, it says in Isaiah 6, 1, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. Uzziah means my strength is God. Azariah, his other name, means God has helped. What are the major events in Uzziah's life? Well, if you would characterize his life, you would say 90% of his life was very productive. And he was used by God in the land of Judah in many, many good ways. If you look at the major events of Uzziah's reign, he subdued the Edomites, the Philistines, the Arabians. He defeated them. God used him to conquer them. He restored the port of Elath to Judah. He destroyed the towns of Gath and Jabna and Ashdod, all Philistine towns that he wiped off the map. Even the Ammonites, that large group of foreigners and those that worshiped other gods, paid tribute to Uzziah. If you were to categorize Uzziah as successful men, as great presidents of Judah, if I could use it that way, he would probably be in the top two or three. You would have Solomon. Of course, he was with the kingdom together. You would have Jehoshaphat. And then right up there would be Uzziah. Okay? It's interesting, though, that throughout his 52-year reign and everything that the Bible has to say, a lot of the kings that we have read about, the Bible talks about their relationship with northern Israel or the northern kingdom. And some of them were trying to make leagues. The last king, Amaziah, hey, let's take 100,000 of those northern kingdom Israelites and let's help have them help us with the battle. But in all of Uzziah's reign, when you study King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26, and you study him in 2 Kings 15, they don't talk about any relationship with the northern kingdom or the northern kings, which is interesting to me. I don't have a reason why, but Uzziah just kind of seems to have stayed with himself and maybe maintained the separation that took place when Amaziah sent those 100,000 men back. And so, having said that, I want to give you an outline of his life this morning. Look at verses 4 and 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Look at verses 4 and 5. In fact, we'll start with verse number 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I like those words. According to all that his father Amaziah did. Wow. His father had a large portion of his life that was right, where he sought God, and he followed the man of God in good counsel. And the Bible says here that Uzziah followed in the steps of his father in that regard. Good. Good choice, Uzziah. Great, great choice. Verse number 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Not only did he follow his father, but he sought the Lord. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to see the similarity between Uzziah
and his grandfather. Not only did he follow Amaziah, but his life kind of set up like his grandfather did, Jehoash or Joash. And we see that in the fact that there was a godly influence in Joash's life. Does anybody remember who it was? Another J name, but we studied this a few weeks ago. It was Jehoiada the priest. And if you go back and you look at, I want to get the verse right here. You go back to 2 Chronicles, you will find, and I'm looking at it and I don't see it here, but you will find that Jehoash was instructed by the man of God, Jehoiada, and then there was a day when Jehoiada died. But as long as Jehoiada was alive, Joash followed the leading of a spiritual man in the kingdom. And so when we get to Uzziah now, Joash, Amaziah, now we're to Uzziah. Guess what? He also has a man in his life that God is using to help him lead. And this man is Zechariah, verse number 5 of 2 Chronicles 26. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. In fact, go back to 2 Chronicles 24, 2. That's the other reference I was looking for. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And look at verse number 2. Somebody have that could stand up and read it real quickly? Go ahead, Brother Garland. Okay, he did that which was right. All the days that Jehoiada was alive, Joash did right. When you go to 2 Chronicles 26, he sought God. This is Uzziah, King Uzziah. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. Thank the Lord for kings that were humble enough to listen to God's men. There's something that happens in our capital. It's been happening for about 6 or 7 years. I'm talking about our national capital in Washington, D.C. And it's called Capital Connection. I'm not a part of it, but I know some men that are. And they go into the reps, the representatives and the senators, and they pray and they offer Bibles and they try to build relationships for the sake of influence. And it would do well for us to pray for our leaders that they would bend an ear to God's men and God's people. These men, part of their success story is this. They had their ear bent to somebody that would tell them the truth and tell them what pleases God. And we need to pray. We need to pray that our leaders will get saved. Obviously, salvation accomplishes a lot. But we also need to pray that they will bend their ears to the right voices. And Uzziah did that during his life, and Jehoash did that during his life. And it's noteworthy enough that God said, let's make sure that's recorded in Scripture for everybody to read. And you want to pray, as you're praying for leaders, of course we're praying that we would be able to live a quiet and peaceable life, right? That's our prayer. New Testament prayer, Paul said, pray for all those in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. So that's our prayer. But another thing that you can pray is that they will allow that an influence will get to them that is godly and truthful, and that they will listen to those influences. These men, though they were kings, man, I'm sorry, they didn't have to go through a Senate. They didn't have to go through a judicial system or Supreme Court. When the king said it, that's it. And having that much power, I credit these men that they listened to the man of God. They listened to somebody else that helped direct them in a right path. Another application here, be careful who you listen to. In both these cases, when we're looking at Amaziah and we're looking at Uzziah and we're looking at Joash, they listened, but there came a time in their lives where they didn't listen. And when they didn't listen, I want you to know that things changed, and they changed rather quickly. The similarity between Uzziah and his grandfather. Number two, if you're taking notes, you can write down this, his success. We're looking at 2 Chronicles 26. We're beginning with verse number 6. Amazing success in Uzziah's life. We see, first of all, his defense of Jerusalem. And we see that in verse number 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and the valley gate, and the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Why do they need towers? Towers are, they're a tool of defense. They're high, which means I can see. I can see what's coming outside the city. And if an enemy is going to attack, somebody from the tower can see. If you're at a prison, they usually have a tower somewhere. Why do they have that tower? Because if there's a prisoner that's on the escape, somebody from the tower should be able to see that movement and radio and hopefully stop that prisoner from escaping. So Uzziah was busy about building the tower, towers in Jerusalem, and fortifying them, or he was building a stronger defense for the city. Good job. Wise move, Uzziah. You're interested in the security of the people, the security of what the Lord has given you. Number two, not only his defense, but his offense. He was successful in his defense, but he was successful in his offense. Look at verse number 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The Bible says he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Best military is a good offense, right? Keep the enemy on their heels. And that's what he was doing. He warred with the Philistines, put them on their heels, and even took some of their cities, as we understand here. He increased their military in verses 11 through 14. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. To give you perspective, one author said, under David's reign, that number was 600. Under Uzziah's reign, that number is 2,600. Four times of what David would have built. And David was known for having his mighty men, was he not? He was known for his mighty men. Well, Uzziah had 2,600 of them here. And under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Wouldn't you like a king that had a strong military? That was building a military? You know, I always, when I'm looking at candidates that are coming into the presidency, I always want to know their philosophy on that. You know? You want to pay our military pittance and, you know, decrease our numbers and, you know, you're not for America. You can tell Uzziah here was for Judah. Hey, man, we're going to defend. We're going to go on the offense and we're going to increase military. Interesting. He gives us those things. And so we have his success. But then we have his seclusion. Look at verses 16 through 21. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 21. Man, Uzziah, success, 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 50 years plus of just great, great things happening. But look at chapter 26 and verse number 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. I got a question. What made Uzziah strong? Look at verse number 15. And his name, last part of the verse, was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Question, does the Bible give Uzziah strength? Does the Bible give Uzziah credit for his own strength? He was helped till he was strong. Well, who helped him? What's his name mean? God was his helper. Now, if you go back to verse number 5, the Bible says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The word sought's an interesting word here. It means to go down a path so often that the path is tread down. So you deer hunters know this. You know when you're out scouting, you can walk through a field, and if there's a trail of deer passing through that field, if there's deer frequently passing through that field, you'll see a path, right? The tall grass or whatever will be trodden down. This isn't a deer that probably just came through here once. This is probably many deer or a few deer that are, you know what? They're frequenting this path. That's the word that the Bible is using of Uzziah. There was a time in his life where this frequent path of prayer and seeking God for help, and God, we're going to go to battle with the Philistines. God, we need to build towers in Jerusalem. God, we need to increase our military. God, I need your help. He had made that path trodden down because he had been there many times. That's where his help came from. Now, the Bible says, but when he was strong, in verse number 16, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And what did this lead to? Well, it led to a confrontation. Here's Azariah and 80 priests, 81 men that come to confront Uzziah. Uzziah, you cannot go into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and burn incense. Sorry, that is a priest responsibility. It is the responsibility of the priest. You as a king cannot do that. And 81 confronted him. And the Bible says, if you read there in verse number 19, after the confrontation had taken place, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Or in other words, this leprosy didn't go on a place that was enclosed and kept private. God made sure it went right here, that all the priests could see he was struck with leprosy. Why? Because he was lifted up with pride. And next week when we get into lessons, I'm going to show you all that pride does in our lives. When we get caught up with pride, he resisted, he refused correction, the confrontation of godly people in his life to say, hey, you're wrong, stop in your tracks, don't do this. He pressed on, and God said, I have no choice but to, if I don't deal with you, Uzziah, then others are going to believe that my laws don't matter. And so he deals with him, and he deals with him very radically, and he becomes a leper. The end of his story should be written like this. Uzziah, one of the top three most successful kings in Judah. Thank you, Uzziah, for all that you did. But his story ends, how does it end in verse 23? for they said, he is a leper. This success story quickly turned, because with success, there is a seduction. There is a temptation, and it's called pride. And now he not only was separated, watch this, he was separated from his family because of his leprosy, which in reality was because of his sin. But he was also separated from the house of God, from the people of God. My friend, his life turned into a tragedy at the very end. This is the pattern of Joash. This is the pattern of Amaziah. This is the pattern of Uzziah. Don't let it be your pattern. That success in your life turns into a tragedy, which it did in the life of Uzziah. When we come.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.